You hear again today in this last message in this series, Alter Ego. And we have learned a lot of things about the altar. We talked about the fact that the altar is a place of worship, where when we lay something down before God, and the idea, ego is what we think of ourselves or what others think of us, and it would be like our belief system. And so what we had been challenged through the series is that we would lay down at the altar this area of struggles that we have in our life, which hinder us from being who God wants us to be. And sometimes I think we do find ourselves being more concerned with so much about what goes on around us and what everyone thinks about us rather than who God says he wants us to be. So the first week, we looked at the fact that we deal with my feelings of inadequacy. And all of us have had times in our life when we have felt inadequate. We feel inadequate about certain things. And then the second week, we looked at my control, the idea that we like to control circumstances and we like to control people, if we can, around us and set up and make our life more comfortable by doing those things. And we talked about surrendering that to God and letting God have control. Week three, we talked about, which was last week, my right to be offended. We said that you know, it's so easy to be offended. You know, we got in the bay traffic, someone cuts us off, and we get offended, or whatever the case is. We talked about that. But today, I want to talk about my longing for the approval of others. The approval of others. You know, struggling with having the approval of others. You know, we all want to be loved, right? All of us do. There's no doubt about that. In fact, we all just want to be loved. Isn't that right? What do you guys think? Do you like me? Do you like the fact I'm preaching on longing for approval? Do you like it? You know, we all feel that way from time to time, don't we? I mean, when you think about it, this longing to want this approval. In fact, we all have three basic concepts or human concepts. Number one, everyone wants to be appreciated. Not one person here would say, you know what, I don't really care what people, what people think about me and appreciating me. No, that's not true. All of us want to be appreciated. We all want to be accepted, and we all want to be approved. I mean, that's the nature of who we are. And so we deal with that from time to time. The reality is that I'll be real honest with you. As much as I can remember in my life, I have always longed for approval. You know, I grew up in a home where I had good parents, but I don't know if it was just their time period or their schooling or whatever, or the way they came up, but it seemed like I never heard, in fact, I can tell you this, honestly, I have never heard I did a good job, ever, growing up. I remember working at my dad's Dairy Queen, and I would work very hard. We had five Dairy Queen businesses, and as a teenager, I was working there for my dad. And I can remember that one of the things I did was I did everything I possibly could to make the products look just like the picture. I remember I would make an ice cream cone. I would go over there and I'd hold up next to the picture. And I want to make sure that the curl on top was just right. And what I kind of like, there's a restaurant here in town. I like going there because you can make your own ice cream cones. So it helps me to brush up on some of my curls on top. I remember one time I was there a couple months ago, and I went by there, and it was at Dickie's Barbecue, that's where it is. And so I was there, and I was making ice cream cones. There were like three kids standing there, and they were like wanting to get up and get their ice cream cone. And I made it, you know, and I put a little curl on top. And I kind of took a little extra time, you know. And so I put a curl on top, and the kid goes, "Can I have that one?" You know. But, you know, I never heard good job. When I became an assistant pastor many years ago, I remember that, you know, since I came out, I moved west, and I became assistant pastor. I quickly learned what an assistant pastor's role was. It's whatever the senior pastor wanted you to do, that's what you do. And so as the assistant pastor, I learned that what he loved the most was he loved plants, landscaping, and flowers. That was his thing. And so what he would do is 3 days a week, I would be out in the flower beds around the church hand-pulling weeds out. Because you do realize that if you were to spray, all the plants would die. So the only way to get them out was, in those days, to hand-pull them. And I did the best I possibly could, but I never heard, good job. Never heard that. And so I guess I always struggled with that. It was always my idea. I just wanted something or someone to say, good job, or well done, or whatever it is. But out of the years, you know, as I've matured, you know, I can honestly say I hardly struggle with this, except every day. You know, it's like every Sunday night, I go home after Sunday night service and the old chatterbox starts chattering in my mind, you know. Boy, you shouldn't have said that. Your illustrations were horrible, and what you said, you shouldn't have done that. And the way you greeted that person, and the way you said this, and the way you put that, you know, and on and on and on. I mean, you know, it's like, it's just there. I mean, it's that longing that's inside of wanting approval. And every now and then, I don't do this very often, but every now and then I'll find myself wanting to go to Janet and say, Janet, how did I do today? How did it go today? How am I doing? And I give in. When the bottom line is, that longing for approval, I don't even know what it looks like. You know, I really don't. Hey, I just kind of wonder, you know, I was thinking about this message, I've been praying about this for weeks, and thinking about this message, what does it look like to be approved? I mean, what is that? Is it when I get done preaching, is everyone supposed to stand and give a standing ovation? You know? I mean, am I supposed to have a plaque with my name on it? I mean, is it supposed to be a write-up in the paper because I'm doing what God called me to do? I mean, really? I don't even know what approval looks like. I don't even know what, when we talk about that from a human standpoint, what is it that we talk about that we really need? I don't know. But today I want to give you some signs. And then we're going to look at how to deal with it. There are 5 specific signs that we can look at to test if we are living for the approval of others. I would suggest that probably all of us from time to time have done that, but some of us may be living just for the approval of others. Here's 5 signs. Number 1, you obsess about what others think. You obsess about what others think. You know, something I learned a long time ago is I can't control what people think, but we still deal with it, don't we? Let me give an example. How many of you have ever had a speech class, either in high school or college? Anyone ever been in one? Okay. You know what it's like? When you get up to give a speech, you're nervous. You know why? Because you're wondering, what does everyone else think while I'm doing the speech? It seems like we struggle with that. But, you know, that's not the only thing. How about social media? It's funny, people put a Facebook post in, and then they go back a minute later to check to see how many likes they got on it. You know? Or someone comes up with this really great quote, you know, some kind of a idea. You know, this is just, man, this is just so great. And so they're going to put it on Twitter. So they tweet it. And then they want to see how many people will retweet what they came up with. Just kind of how we think. You know, we obsess with what others think. And so often I think that's how people struggle with this, trying to get the approval of others. They try to do it by maybe social media or through other some other means. How many of you be honest enough, man, that's a struggle that I have in my life? How many agree with that? Nobody? I'm raising both hands, and I know right now that I'm going to preach on lying next week, okay? Because I've heard some of you say, I'll never get in a speech class. I never get in front of people. Why? Because I think oftentimes we do have a fear of what others might think. So the first thing is, the first sign we see is we obsess what others think. The second is, you are overly sensitive. You know, I've had this happen too. You know, sometimes I'll have like, maybe 20 people or so will say something like, you know, man, that was good, or that was helpful, or that. And then one person would say something contrary to that. And you know what I find myself doing? Thinking about the one thing that someone said contrary, forgetting about what the other people say. I deal with that. All of us do. We've all had our moments like that. Now, how about you, ladies? Maybe you go down the store and you see this outfit that you just really like. I mean, it's a dress. Maybe it's got a purse with it, shoes, you know. I mean, the kind of thing that, man, it is just absolutely gorgeous. And you you put it on. It makes you look gorgeous. I mean, you're good, man. You're just all excited about it. And you go out. You just know that you're going to get 20 compliments before the morning's over. And you go out and nobody says a word all day about it. They don't even notice it. And you go home totally devastated. How could someone not notice that? Or maybe you text a friend and you say, you know, I'm praying for you, or I want you to know I'm thinking about you, or whatever. And they don't text you back. And you start saying, oh, no, man, they must be upset with me. I must have hurt their feelings. I must have done something. You know, we get overly sensitive. There's a third sign to know whether or not we are struggling with this approval of others is you compromise your values. Compromising our values. There's something that you believe in and you feel strongly about it. As a Christian, you believe in the Lord and you want to do right, but you're pressured into compromising your values. Like maybe a young girl who is pure and wants to live pure and she's being pushed by her boyfriend to violate her purity. And so there's that push that just go ahead and give in, go ahead and give in. And she wants him to like her, but she struggles with this area of doing and living morally pure. Or maybe you work at a job, and at your job that you're told that you're to kind of maybe flower up the reports or perhaps lie on the reports or misappropriate that report. And you know, as a committed believer, you could never do that. And yet you gotta have your job. You want to keep your job. How do you deal with that? How do you handle that situation? You might find yourself in a company of people who are telling rude and crude jokes and maybe things that were dishonoring to the Lord, but you just kind of go along with it because you want and join in because you don't want to be rejected. We have moments where we compromise or we could compromise our values. And then there's a fourth sign that I want you to think about. You hesitate in sharing your faith. You're a believer. You know that Jesus Christ is the only hope for this world. And you know that's why Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. They died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried. And thank God he rose again the third day and that he can give us life. And living for Jesus is what it's all about. And you know him and you want everybody around you to know. And you got this really, really close friend. Someone that you're really close to. And you want to tell them about Jesus, but what happens is when you try to tell them, you kind of freeze up because you don't want them to think you're some kind of a religious fanatic. Or perhaps maybe you meet some new people and you're just kind of like in a room full of people and you kind of meet them and you're afraid to say something because it's always easier to not say anything than to say something that gets people to question you or not like you. And so you would never talk about the Lord. There's a fifth sign. You have a hard time saying no. Anyone ever have a hard time saying no? Anyone? You know, it's hard to say no. Yeah, and someone asks you, you know, will you do this? You're like, oh no, I don't want to. I can't. I'm overwhelmed. I got so much to do. I'm working so hard. I got so much. And then what happens is you have to make a choice. Either number one, do I go ahead and say yes and do it and resent it? Or number two, do I say no and not do it and feel guilty or feel like I might be losing my friendship? I mean, we struggle with this. Just, it is what it is. We have these moments that we do that. But why do we do that? Why do we deal with it? I would suggest to you we're just trying to have the approval of others because all of us want to be liked. All of us, I don't believe there's anyone who gets up in the morning and says, well, I'm going to go out there and see how many people out here in the world I can get to unlike me. You know? I don't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to drive down the road and see how many people I can really make mad today so they won't like me anymore. No, I don't think that at all. None of us feel that way. But the strange thing of it is when we find ourselves seeking the approval of others, we start making some pretty serious errors. Some pretty serious things happen in our life. Here's one thing that's very certain. Many decisions are in life are based on the approval of others. You ever notice that? I mean, it just seems to be the way it is. We like having the approval of others about the decisions we make, like the house that we buy, or where we live, or the car that we drive, or the church we go to, or the job that we conduct ourselves in. You know, we are always trying, and that becomes a place where we make decisions on what everybody else thinks, rather than where we should make that decision. I'll talk about that in a minute. There are two problems I find when we live for the approval of others. I want to give them to you. Number one is when we are possessed with what people think, we forget what God thinks. You know, when we get wrapped up in it, we forget, what is it that God thinks about that? What is it that God wants me to do? In fact, there's a Bible verse that answers that. It says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, here's what it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, this idea of a snare is, in the Old Testament, if they were to get an animal and they wanted to train and lead the animal, they would take this particular instrument and they would stick it in the nostril of the animal and they would pull that animal wherever they wanted to go, and so it would always follow them. That's the idea here, is that if I'm not careful, that I can allow myself to be snared into thinking that I have to live for the approval of what others say. That's why it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But notice the end of the verse says, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be what? Safe. I mean, safety is in the Lord. That's where we put our trust. That's where we put our, that's where we, who we want to focus on. And we're going to see how that works in just a moment. We have to be careful because we start thinking like, hey, they like my car? Hey, you like my hairdo? Why are you guys laughing? It's so funny. The other day I met some cosmetologist, and I was talking about Chelsea being involved in cosmetology, and I said, she uses my hair as a model. And they started laughing. And I said, boy, you're really encouraging, let me tell you. How's my hair look? How about that new iPhone 7? I got that cool, right? I don't, but let's say. Oftentimes we find ourselves like that, don't we? You know, we start thinking, you know, man, you know, this is pretty good that, you know, if people really like that, then, you know, I feel good about myself. I feel really good because, I'm cool. Is that really it? Well, there are two problems I want to call your attention to. I already showed you the one. Let me give you another problem that I see, and that is this: pleasing people places their opinions ahead of God. Sometimes pleasing people places their opinions ahead of God. And if we're not careful, it can be one of the most limiting, the greatest limiting factors in a person's life. Parents, instead of wanting to be a parent to their children, by the way, you know, we dedicated two children this morning. And here's what I believe. I believe that dedicating children is not only for the child, but for the parent. And that is that they make the decision that they want to rear those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and how important that really is, that we rear them properly, that we train them up. And our job is to be a guide and a spiritual example to them, not to be a buddy to them. And sometimes parents fall prey to that. They want the approval of their children rather than leading them as they should. Well, I sure would hate to be a politician right now. Can you imagine if you were a politician and you have to live for the approval of man? I would be miserable. I can't even imagine. You know, here's what would happen to me probably. I'm sure there'd probably be a video where I smarted off to somebody somewhere, or something that I said I shouldn't have said, or maybe I did something. Maybe I was speeding down the road and did something. I mean, I can only imagine what it would be like living for the opinion and approval of what everybody else says. I mean, right now there's just so much craziness going on. But I've learned something this, and here's very important. If you lead people, I mean, if you're going to lead people, you're going to have to make decisions that people will not understand or like. It's just the way it is. You have to do what is right before God. And that is what I want us to get in our understanding today. We have to do right before God. Let me give you two thoughts to help us deal with this disease to please. Number one, focusing on pleasing God instead of pleasing people. Focus on pleasing God instead of pleasing people. The Apostle Paul writes it this way when he says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." You see, here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. We are not to live for the audience of many, but for the audience of one. That's God. Now, here's what Paul's saying. Paul is saying you can't please everybody and please God. You have to make a choice. If I please everybody, I can't please God. If I please God, I won't please everybody. If pleasing everybody else is our goal, we cannot please God. That's what Saul's problem was. Saul, the first king of Israel, started out appointed by God, and he wanted to please God, but in time, he went from pleasing God to trying to please to everyone else, and he lost his kingdom, and ultimately, he lost his life. I remember when I came here, it'll be this December, 24 years ago, to become the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. I'll never forget when it became public, it was announced that I was going to be the pastor here of the church. I will never forget what happened to me. My pastor friends, people who I looked to, came to my office or called me, and they literally chewed me out, saying, "You're out of the will of God. You should never do this. What are you doing? What business? You should never go there. It's not what God wants you to do." Well, in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, who died and made you God? I mean, really? You know, and I mean, I had many, many people, some reason, tell me I should never become the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church. And then 35 years ago, when Jen and I left back east to move west, or 30 years ago, a little over 35 years, to move to come west, I remember when we moved out here, I remember we had family and they all kind of, and some friends, and they said, man, you're crazy to go out there. You don't know anybody. You're going out there. You're going to a strange place, different culture, all those kind of things. You're never, why in the world would you do that? That's crazy. And they're right. I'm crazy. I am crazy. I'm crazy about God and doing God's will. They're exactly right. I want to do what God says. And, you know, it hurts when people don't approve of my decision to do what God wants me to do. But I have to make a choice. You know, something I learned, you can't please everyone. Oh, you may try. You know what I found? You can wear certain clothes that there's some people that will love and others will just hate. You could drive a car that some people would just love and others will hate. You can have a job that some people will just love and others will just hate that job. You can have a hobby that you just love and others will hate. See, here's the bottom line. You just can't please everybody. You can't. But here's one fact I want to get. If everyone can get this, this will change us. Here's what it says. I can't please everyone, but I can please God. Can we say that together? I can't please everyone, but I can please God. You know, if you have to make a choice, don't you think it'd be much better to make a choice that would say, if I can't please everyone, at least I know one I can please, and that's God. You see, you can please God today. Every one of you can here in the room. There's no doubt about that God says, that, and Paul is saying, that if we make a choice, we can please God, but you can be assured that that place of pleasing God will be different than if you try to please people. So the first thought is focus on that. The second thought is live for the approval of God instead of for the approval of people. Live for it. Just decide right now that you're going to live for the approval of God rather than for the approval of man. You know, this transforms our life if we understand that living for God and knowing what God wants me to do and doing what God says. Paul says it like this in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. He says, I turned that off. It says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. You see, Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And the Bible says that God says we have been entrusted with the privilege of sharing this good news with the entire world. But here's something I found. If you want to share that with the rest of the world, I'm going to tell you there are going to be some people that are not going to like what you have to say. You see, if we care what people think, we won't share the message of the gospel. We won't live out the gospel because no doubt about it, that it is so important that God says, I've given this to you, I've changed you, I've approved you, you are approved in my sight through Jesus Christ. And as you share that truth to the rest of the world, there are going to be some that are not going to like that. But something that's important for me is this. My worth is not based on what people think about me, but what God says about me. You see, my worth is not what people think about me, but what God says about me. Now, what does God say about us? I mean, what is it that God says about you and me in the scriptures? Well, I'm going to give you 10 descriptions that God gives. I'm going to give them to you very quickly, so don't be nervous. Some of you are like, wow, 10. Let me give them to you very quickly. Number one, the Bible says we are new creatures. If any man be in Christ, we're a new creature. Thank God we are a new creature. Number two, we are forgiven. God says that He has forgiven us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that He shed. Number three, we are conquerors. Nay, in all things, you're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Number four, we are God's workmanship. God has done the work in my life, and I'm His workmanship. Number five, we're the light of the world, the Bible says, and that God uses us as an example of the light to a world who is in darkness. That we are Spirit-filled, that we are Spirit-filled by the Holy Spirit of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and that through Him that we can say, thank God that we are joint heirs with Him, that we are an ambassador with Christ, that through that ministry that God has given to me, that I am an ambassador, that I'm to carry His name. We are righteous, for He has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And then lastly, we are called saints. Did you know you're a saint? Some might be sitting there saying, me? Yeah. Not because of what man says, or because of what some church says, or because some organization says, because of what God says. We're saints in Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, those are some great descriptions. And I think inside your service program, all of these are listed for you. They're great for you to take them home, to mull over them and say, man, thank God. I don't have to live for the approval of others. I live for the approval of only one. That's God Himself. So according to Romans 12 in verses 1 and 2, the Bible says I'm to lay down my life as a living sacrifice. So I go from living for others and living for me to where it doesn't matter, because it's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's what He says and what He wants. And one of the quickest ways to forget about what God thinks is for me to become obsessed with what others think. So since I can't please everybody, I have to make a choice. And my choice, and I want to challenge you with the choice, to choose to please God. There's only one whose approval is important, and that's God's. Wherever you are, whatever you're dealing with in life, I want to urge you to lay it down the altar. If you are struggling with this approval of man, trying to get the approval of someone else, and just decide, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to gain